everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Joe.
Today we're going to be talking about the life of our author, Jack Kerouac. He wrote our novel, On the Road, which we talked about in an earlier program. We talked about the plot of the book, On the Road, which is a piece of fiction or a work of fiction, as we like to say. But as Joe described in that program, it's very similar to our author's real life, isn't it, Joe?
That's right. I've actually read a lot of Kerouac, and
yeah.
I've read his biography, so I know that this corresponded quite a lot to his real life, and that's what we're going to be reading about today, the life and times of Jack Kerouac, and we'll see how his real life experiences corresponded to the works
okay.
that he came up with. So the places that he lived, the people that he met, they were all there in his works of fiction. They were based on his real life.
Yeah, I'm doing the quote
yeah.
fingers in the
heavy
air.
Heavy finger quotes
yeah.
on that. He basically just changed the names in his book to protect the innocent, as we say. So
protect the guilty, more like it.
Or protect the guilty, because as we learned yesterday, there was a lot of debauchery going on
yeah.
at the time. So let's go ahead and learn all about the man, Jack Kerouac, today. Let's read through the article first, and then we'll be back.
American author Jack Kerouac was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, to French-Canadian immigrants in 1922. Although he was famous for his English writing, he grew up speaking French. When Kerouac was 4 years old, a tragedy struck his family. Kerouac's older brother suddenly died, aged 9. Kerouac was admitted to Columbia University on a football scholarship, but he dropped out to join the United States Navy. However, he soon realized that he wasn't suitable for the military life either. Kerouac then moved back home to live with his parents and started writing. He published his first novel, The Town and the City, in 1950, but it won him little acclaim. A year later, Kerouac typed for 3 weeks on a continuous roll of paper and completed his masterpiece, On the Road. The novel was an autobiographical tale about his adventures of traveling across America with his friends in search of personal freedom. Kerouac's stream of consciousness writing earned him accolades as he detailed rebellious tales of drinking, drug use, and partying. Although the novel shocked mainstream American writers, many young adults fell in love with Kerouac's prose. These youngsters craved to break free from society and even to challenge the promise of the American dream. Kerouac became known as the father of the Beat Generation, a counterculture movement that celebrated art and individuality. In the aftermath of On the Road, Kerouac became a respected jazz poet and published several other novels. Nevertheless, he was frustrated by his inability to duplicate his initial success. To cope with his longing for fame and disappointment of not reaching it, he turned to alcohol to numb his pain. Sadly, he died from internal bleeding caused by alcohol abuse at the tender age of 47.
Today we're learning about the life of Jack Kerouac, and we begin with where he was born, of course.
Mm.
It says American author Jack Kerouac was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, to French-Canadian immigrants in 1922. I'm not sure how Lowell, Massachusetts was back then. I know today it's known as kind of a rough town. There's a lot of crime, there's a lot of drugs and things like that. Back then it might have been quite different. He was actually born to immigrants. Immigrants are people who move from one country to another country. They just decide they want to live somewhere else. His parents were actually French Canadians. That means they're from the province of Quebec in Canada. That is the French area of Canada. I'm from Canada, but in my portion of the country, we mostly speak English. But in Quebec, they mostly speak French to each other. They don't speak English a lot, although they can.
Mm-hmm.
But they like to preserve their French culture
yes.
and things like that, which
uh-huh.
is understandable. So his parents moved to the United States to Lowell, Massachusetts.
Well, he was famous for his English writing, of course, but he actually grew up speaking French. A lot of parents continue to speak their native language at home to children so that they are, you know, multilingual, bilingual if you only know two languages. We have a lot of that in Taiwan. A lot of parents speak to their kids at home in Taiwanese or Hakka, depending on what their parents' background is. And then they go to school and they spend the day mostly speaking Mandarin. Well, he grew up speaking French, but he, of course, is famous for his English writing, not his French writing. When Kerouac was 4 years old, a tragedy struck his family. When you talk about a tragedy, it's something really bad, but it almost always involves death or very serious injuries to somebody. But here it does involve death. His older brother suddenly died, although he was only the age of 9, so he was quite young. If something strikes, I mean, it happens suddenly, and we use it a lot when we're talking about something that's bad or even a natural disaster. We often say lightning strikes, disaster struck, an earthquake struck, which is the past tense of that. So, yeah, he had a very sad time in his family because if any of you out there have experienced, you know that when you lose someone in your family, it's tough on everyone.
As we move to the next paragraph, we're going to fast forward a little bit in Kerouac's life. It says, Kerouac was admitted to Columbia University on a football scholarship, but he dropped out to join the United States Navy. Yes, Kerouac was very athletic when he was young. He was a strong guy. He was known for being quite handsome, too.
Really?
He was popular with the ladies. And he was admitted to Columbia University. That's in New York City. If you remember the book yesterday, it involved the character, Sal Paradise. He moved to New York. So we can see the similarities here between the character and Jack Kerouac.
Right.
He moved to New York to go to Columbia University to go to school. I believe he is studying journalism there. They have a very famous writing and journalism program there. It says he was admitted to Columbia University. If you are admitted to a place, we're usually talking about a school, and it means that they accept you. They look at your grades. They look at your extracurricular activities. They evaluate or assess you as a person. And then they say, well, yes, you're good enough to go here. And Columbia, I believe it's not an easy school to get into.
It's difficult.
You have to have good grades. You have to do a lot of extracurricular activities. But in his case, he was on a football scholarship. So
cute.
Yeah, you can have good grades, but in universities, they also want good football players, especially in the United States. If you're good at sports, they'll give you a scholarship, which means you come and you play for one of the teams. Can be the football team, any sort of team that they have, and they'll pay for your school.
Cool.
They'll just give you some money to go there. But he dropped out. That means you quit. You stop doing something. We often use the phrase dropped out to refer to school.
It
means you stop going to school. Usually your parents don't want you to drop out of school. They want you to graduate and keep going. He decided that Columbia wasn't for him. He'd rather go join the United States Navy. Now, that's the portion of the United States fighting forces that has to do with the sea. They're on the ships. They're traveling overseas. They're on the boats, firing those big guns and keeping the boats in working order. So he decided school wasn't for him.
And it's kind of interesting because if you know about the military, the life there is very strict.
Yes.
And there are lots of rules.
It's only rules.
And you have to be very obedient. So when I saw that he dropped out of school to go to the Navy, I thought, well, that's weird. That just doesn't suit his personality. The next sentence tells us it didn't really work out for him in the Navy. He soon realized that he wasn't suitable for life in the military either, because, as I said, it's very strict. And back then, it was probably even more strict than today. If something's suitable, it just means it matches something else. For example, if you have long hair, it's probably not suitable for the summer in Taiwan because it's so hot. So you might want to think about cutting your hair shorter. He wasn't really suited. You could also say he wasn't really suited for the military either. So then he moved back home to live with his parents and started writing. That's when he first started writing.
That's right. He wanted to focus on his writing. So writing doesn't usually pay that well.
Not at first,
not
right?
Not at first.
Yeah.
Especially if you're writing novels, because you're just sitting home writing something that you haven't sold yet. So there is no money.
Now, I mentioned, Joe, that you're in a band, but you also are a published author.
Yes, yes. I write books as well. Not quite as well as Kerouac, but I can say definitely that it's hard to get some good money coming in. Although Kerouac would eventually. He would get paid for his books quite well.
You just need to meet the right publisher.
That's right. But so he wanted to move home. He was a young writer, and he just wanted to get this literary career going.
Uh-huh.
He published his first novel, The Town and the City, in 1950, but it won him little acclaim. If something is published, it is available to the public. We're often talking about literary works when we're talking about publishing something. Mm. So it can be a book. You can publish a magazine or something of that nature, anything written, basically. This book was called The Town and the City. It came out in 1950, but it won him little acclaim. Acclaim is praise. People saying you've done a good job, or you've, in this case, you've written well. It won him little acclaim. It just means people weren't really talking about it, or they weren't saying very many good things about it. So he must have been very excited. You've published your first novel. It's out there. You're waiting for the good reviews and the huge sales to come in, and then nothing, or very
crickets,
little.
Crickets, or we say crickets.
Yep.
Nothing.
Nothing going on. So it must have been quite, I guess, discouraging for him.
Yeah, very.
But he would persevere. He would push on. We're going to find out about that a little bit later. Right now, let's take a break to listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是 Trevor。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15 On the Road with Jack Kerouac 文学单元的第二天课程。今天的文章介绍了 On the Road 作者的生平。他是一名美国作家，在法裔加拿大的移民家庭中长大。我们看到第一段的最后一句， When Kerouac was 4 years old, a tragedy struck his family. Kerouac's older brother suddenly died aged 9.当凯鲁亚克四岁的时候，一件悲剧打击了他的家庭。凯鲁亚克的哥哥在九岁时猝死。这句里面有一个动词 struck， 它的原型是 strike， S-T-R-I-K-E， 过去式是 struck， 过去分词也是 struck。这个字有打、罢工、突然想到等等意思。以下介绍几个和 strike 相关的常用片语。第一个是 strike a balance between A and B， 在 A 和 B 之间取得平衡。例如 ，It's important for students to strike a balance between study and play， 在课业和玩乐之间取得平衡，对学生而言是重要的。第二个常见片语是 strike a chord with somebody， chord C H O R D 是指乐器的弦，所以 strike a chord with somebody。就是指引起某人的共鸣。例如 The novel strikes a chord with teenagers because it is written from teenagers' points of view. 这本小说引起青少年的共鸣，因为它是根据青少年的观点写成的。最后，如果我们说 It strikes somebody that 加主词，再加动词，意思就是某人突然想到某件事。例如It struck Jeff that perhaps it was time to kick the habit of smoking. 杰夫突然想到或许该是戒除抽烟习惯的时候了。
Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We're on day two of our literature unit. We're talking about our author of On the Road, Jack Kerouac's life. We found out he was born in Lowell, Massachusetts. That's on the East Coast, the Northeast Coast. It's north of New York City. And he was born to French-Canadian immigrants in 1922. His parents had come from probably Quebec in Canada and had migrated or immigrated to the U.S. So he was born back in 1922, and he grew up speaking French. So he was probably, his whole life, he was probably at least bilingual, maybe knew more languages than that. Now, when Kerouac was four, sadly enough, his older brother died at age nine. So that probably had a large impact on him. Moving ahead, he went to, well, he was admitted to Columbia University, which is a great college. It's an Ivy League school. He was a pretty big guy. He was given a football scholarship, but later on he dropped out to join the Navy. Once he got to the Navy, he realized, oops, this really isn't for me. They're very strict in the military, as some of you know. And he needed a lot of freedom to express himself. So he left the Navy. He dropped out of that. And he moved back home where he didn't need to pay rent or buy food or groceries. And he started to write. That's where his career started. Now, his first novel was published in 1950, The Town and the City. But you know what? It just didn't get a lot of acclaim, which means no one said, oh, what a great novel. Watch this author. He's a young up-and-coming star. No.
No, it didn't happen. So he had to keep going. He had to try again.
Yeah.
It says, a year later, Kerouac typed for 3 weeks on a continuous roll of paper and completed his masterpiece, On the Road. Yes, he was working on a continuous roll of paper. Now,
what was the point of that? Do you
he
know?
Just didn't like to stop. If you were working on a typewriter, which is what people wrote on in those days, you would have individual sheets of paper, and when you finished one sheet, you would have to pull it out and load another piece of paper in, and it would take some time.
Yeah.
It was time-consuming. His style of writing was he would just sit there and type for hours and hours and hours continuously without stopping. So with a roll of paper, you never had to stop. You never had to stop and change the paper. It would just keep going and the paper would just flow down onto the floor.
Interesting.
So actually, you can buy a copy of this book. It's called The Original Scroll, and it's unedited. It's just everything he wrote down for 3 straight weeks. As it was.
Wow.
It was not touched by the publisher.
Was he using a typewriter?
He was using a typewriter.
His hand. Okay,
no, he was using a typewriter. And just he just kept going. It was continuous. Continuous means it just keeps going.
It doesn't stop.
It doesn't end. Yeah. Although this scroll, it wasn't just a roll of paper that didn't end. It did have an end, but he just kept going on it. It was very thick. And we call this work his masterpiece. That's your highest achievement, something of the greatest possible quality. If we're talking about creative works, we'll often talk about masterpieces, like a painter, Picasso's masterpiece, for example. Or if we're talking about composers, Mozart's masterpiece. We're talking about their greatest works.
Mm.
And this was the book that we talked about yesterday, On the Road.
I wanted to mention continuous and constantly, or constant, are very similar. Continuous means without stopping. It just keeps going, right? But constant can mean a lot, but there might be periods where it stops. So be careful with those two words. Constant, continuous, and continuously, and constantly. You might say, oh, you're continuously complaining about life, or you're constantly complaining about life. It's probably constantly, because someone has to stop talking every once in a while. Now, the novel was an autobiographical tale about his adventures of traveling across America with his friends. What was he looking for? He was in search of personal freedom. Now, if it's autobiographical, it means it's a story or a book about someone's own life that they are writing themselves. If somebody else is writing about someone's life, it's called a biography or biographical tale. This is something he wrote about himself, and so it is an autobiographical tale.
Kerouac's stream of consciousness writing earned him accolades as he detailed rebellious tales of drinking, drug use, and partying. Yes, his style was stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And this just means that you sit down and you just write whatever comes into your head. You don't think about it. You don't change it. You just type it or write it as the thoughts occur to you. That's what a lot of people liked. Also, some people didn't like it. There was one critic in particular that says, Kerouac doesn't write, he types. They were just saying he did not actually think about his words. He just kind of spewed them out onto the paper.
Interesting.
But it did finally win him accolades.
Mm.
Accolades, again, are kind of like acclaim, which we talked about earlier. This is praise for your work. He was talking about rebellious tales. Rebellious means you're trying to go against the rules of society. You're saying, I'm not going to live the way that you think I should live. I'm not going to do the things that you think I should do. He was going to write about drinking and drug use and partying. Remember that word debauchery from yesterday? That's what this is. Drinking and drug use and partying. Things that aren't necessarily healthy for you.
No, indeed. Well, although the novel did shock mainstream American writers, many young adults fell in love with his prose. Mainstream just means, you know, the majority of the people who aren't so, I don't know, living on the edge, people who aren't real progressives, I guess. So it did shock a lot of people, but of course the young adults who all kind of have a rebellious spirit when you're a teen or even in your early 20s, you're kind of trying to test the boundaries and see where you want to end up. But they loved his style, which is prose. Prose is the opposite of poetry. Not the opposite, they're just different. Prose is a complete sentence. Poetry has a rhythm to it, and it's much more dense, I would say.
Now, these youngsters craved to break free from society and even to challenge the promise of the American dream. If you crave something, you have a deep want or need or desire to do something. They wanted to break free from society. Remember, we're talking about, the 1950s and 60s here. There was a very strong counterculture movement. Young people were starting to question their elders a lot more.
Authority, a lot
more than they used to. In the United States before that, most people just kind of did what they were supposed to do.
Expected to do, right?
Expected to, you know, finish school, get a job, get married,
settle down, have kids.
Be responsible. Be responsible and be calm, basically, not to shake things up.
But that counterculture was really into drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We called them the hippies. They had long hair. They had free sex. It was kind of a very interesting moment. They were the counterculture movement that celebrated art and individuality, which just means we don't want to fit into any group. I want to be me. I want to be an individual. Well, in the aftermath of On the Road, aftermath means what comes after an event or an action. Kerouac became a respected jazz poet. I was asking Joe about this. What's a jazz poet?
A jazz poet, that's just, it's because his writing was heavily influenced by jazz, and it kind of had the same sort of rhythm to it. If you read it out, you could almost hear the beat or the syncopation, the rhythm of a jazz song to his words. And that's because he and other writers like him, his friends, they would all hang out in jazz clubs a lot, and they loved the music because it was free-flowing, it was rebellious, and it didn't have rules.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't want writing to have rules either. They were part of the beat generation, and the main thing that they were rebelling against were all these old rules about literature, which said you had to have correct punctuation, you had to have correct grammar in every sentence. They threw all of that out the window.
I see. Well, he also went on to publish several other novels. Nevertheless, it says he was frustrated by his inability to duplicate his initial success. So, you know, he wasn't happy because he wasn't able to actually copy the success he'd had, duplicate his initial success. We're talking about his first success with On the Road. A lot of authors feel that way, though. Now, to cope with his longing for fame and disappointment of not reaching it, he turned to alcohol to numb his pain. When you cope with something, it just means you're able to handle something. In particular, we use cope with to talk about handling a difficult situation. And some people can't cope with disappointment very well, and they turn to drugs or alcohol.
That's right. He was trying to numb the pain, trying to make the pain feel less painful. Sadly, he died from internal bleeding caused by alcohol abuse. Abuse in this case means he was doing too much of something. He was drinking alcohol too much.
Wow.
He died of internal bleeding. That's bleeding inside the body at the tender age of 47. We often say at the tender age of something when somebody dies young. So he was only 47. He was not an old man, but he drank himself to death, basically. So a kind of a sad ending for one of the greats of American literature.
True.
That brings us to the end of today's article. Before we go, let's listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
文章的第二段提到，作者曾经就读哥伦比亚大学，也曾加入美国海军，但都中途退出，直到他搬回家和父母同住，他才开始写作，并出版了他第一本小说。我们看到这段倒数第四句， Kerouac's stream of consciousness writing earned him accolades as he detailed the rebellious tales of drinking, drug use and partying。 凯鲁亚克的意识流写作使他赢得多项荣誉，因为他详述饮酒、嗑药和开派对这类的反叛故事。我们看到这一句有一个形容词 rebellious， 是指 refusing to obey rules or authority or to accept normal standards of behavior， 也就是反叛的、反抗的。它的动词是 rebel， R-E-B-E-L， 意思是造反、反叛或反抗。 rebel against 就是指反叛或反抗某人事物。例如， Many teenagers rebel against their parents during adolescence， 许多青少年在青春期时会反抗父母。要注意， rebel 这个字也可以当名词，但是发音会不同，当动词时是念作 rebel，当名词时则是念作 rebel， 意思是造反者、反叛者。我们来造一个句子： A peace treaty between the rebels and the government was finally signed， 政府和叛军最后签订了和平协定。我们继续看到这一段的倒数第二句： These youngsters crave to break free from society and even to challenge the promise of the American dream， 这些年轻人渴望从社会中挣脱，甚至挑战美国梦的承诺。这句里面有一个动词 crave， 是渴望的意思，和这个字意思相近的动词还有 desire， D-E-S-I-R-E， yearn， Y-E-A-R-N， long， L-O-N-G。 如果我们要表示渴望去做某事，我们可以说 crave 或者是 desire 或是 yearn 或是 long， 再加 to 加原形动词。例如， After 3 years of marriageThe couple longs to have a baby。 结婚三年之后，这对夫妻渴望有小孩。如果我们要表示渴望得到某事物，我们可以说 crave 或 desire something， 或者是 yearn 或 long for something。 例如， The young singer longs for fame and fortune， 这位年轻歌手渴望名声和财富。文章的最后一段提到， Kerouac 在出版 On the Road 之后又发行了几本小说，但都没有 On the Road 一样受到赞赏。他因为得不到渴望的名声，就用酒精来麻醉他的痛苦。我们看到这一段的最后一句， Sadly, he died from internal bleeding caused by alcohol abuse at the tender age of 47. 遗憾的是，他在年仅47岁时就因酒精滥用所引发的内出血去世。我们可以将副词放在句首来修饰后面的这个完整句子。例如，Unfortunately, Lisa's application to that college was turned down. 很不幸的，丽莎申请那所大学被拒绝了。我们也可以将这样的句型转变成 it is 加形容词加 that 再加主词再加动词，用 it 虚主词来代替 that 句所叙述的一件事。像刚刚那句，我们就也可以这样说： It was unfortunate that Lisa's application to that college was turned down. 以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
Today on the program, we've been talking about the life and times of Jack Kerouac, the father of the Beat Generation. You can check out some of his books. Tomorrow, we'll be back to talk about some more of the themes within the works of Jack Kerouac. Until then, for English Digest, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.